Welcome back for our self-equity quarterly market update with Scott Zelniker. Alongside our usual conversations on money, mindset, and building long-term wealth, we take a step back to look at what's been happening in the markets, what trends are shaping the economy, and what investors should be paying attention to in the months ahead. I'm Jolene Tepedina, Team Business Manager with the Zelniker, Dorfman, Carr & Heritage Group, and host of today's show. Thanks for joining me today, Scott. Geopolitical tension is back in focus, particularly the war involving Iran and its impact on global oil markets. How are you thinking about energy today, and how much of this risk do you believe is already priced into the market?
So, Jolene, if you think back to the last couple of years, and yes, I said years, things that I've been talking to my clients about, things that I talked about on TV appearances and in news media. I talked about the risk of inflation as it regards to interest rates. There's been a clamoring for interest rates to come down. There's been talk about the Fed Chair Powell not acting quick enough. And I disagreed. I felt he was doing a really good job. And I specifically said that if bombs go off in Iran and it impacts oil supply, you'll see a spike in inflation. And interestingly enough, now that we're here and we're in the moment, I would suggest they should be cutting rates. So I'm ringing the bell at these levels, and I'm saying that with the actual war going on and with oil prices spiking here, interest rates should actually get cut. Now, here's my rationale. If you look at other commodities, look at gold, look at silver, look at all the metals, they've plummeted through this. So what we don't have here is an overheated economy that needs to get choked off. We have an economy that is at a risk of stagflation. Given the events, you're not going to be able to quell the oil supply. The duration of the war is going to determine what that is. But the one thing you can control is the stag part. We don't want a stagnant economy. We actually want to stimulate the economy here. So I think as we're looking out moving forward, the things we want to really pay attention to is the duration of the war, how the Fed reacts and manages interest rates, and what's the hangover. So if you think back to the COVID era, the global economy shut down, the markets then rallied, but then we had, I called it the COVID hangover, because things don't get back up to speed so quickly. So I really do think the duration of this war means a lot. That's the main thing to keep an eye on.
And as we know, interest rates continue to be one of the biggest drivers of investor sentiment. What assumptions are you making around rate policy for the remainder of the year? And how should investors think about positioning portfolios in this environment?
Yeah, so look, I just gave you my opinion. I think the Fed should be cutting rates here. I'm definitely in tune with the fact that they may or they might not. There's even talk of them raising rates. I think that would be a policy error, but you know, from a rate perspective, we have an opportunity here to lock in some yield and buy some bonds. Pre-war, we were starting to look at longer dated bonds, but now I'm staying fairly short. You know, I think money markets will probably hold at these levels for a while, or around 3.5%. And I think if you buy some shorter duration, 3-4 year bonds, you're really can't go wrong. So that's kind of how we're playing interest rates at this time.
Scott, we've seen some renewed volatility recently. From your perspective, is this a warning sign, or is this simply what a more normal market looks like after several strong years?
So Jolene, one of the things we haven't talked about yet was first quarter of 2026 that we just experienced. And what I would define the first quarter by is disruption. We saw the disruption of AI coming in and hitting certain sectors. We saw software stocks go down quite a bit. We saw a dichotomy of returns. We saw balanced portfolios hold up pretty well, where, you know, you had flat to actually up in the first 2 months of the year. When we were coming into this year, we talked to our clients about the fact that markets don't go straight up forever. We've had 3 20+% years at our client returns. We wouldn't be surprised if we saw volatility return, and we have. It also wouldn't be a surprise if we had a down year. So on average, we know that every year the market has a 10% correction. Doesn't happen every single year, but when you look at the averages over time, tends to be once a year. We also know that the average decline is about 14% during the course of a year. We're not even close to that yet. We also know that markets typically, on average, have 2-5% corrections every year. So seeing the volatility is just normal. What's not normal is the backdrop behind this one. And of course, it's all tied to oil right now. Oil is the main driver for everything we do. Again, we saw it in COVID. In that case, there was no demand for oil. That was the demand destruction equation. This is not a demand destruction situation, which is why we have to be really careful in how we think about things. In the ideal world, the war would get settled. There would be some diplomatic answers, and we could resume. If it goes on for another 2 weeks, it's going to be really hard to start the global economic engine, and you might see a relief rally in the market, followed by some struggles. But again, this isn't abnormal for how markets behave.
To that end, when we look back at this past quarter, how do you assess the performance? Is it good, bad, somewhere in between? And what matters more to you beneath the surface than the headline numbers?
Yeah, so look, again, the performance for the first 2 months of the year, we were modestly up. We actually didn't trade in a huge range. Our clients' portfolios were positive, and everything was good. Fast forward, we've now had this big war, and you know this has not been insignificant. It's not a dip your toe in the water war. And yet, when you look at the markets, they're down this year, call it 5%. That's really not outside of the regular volatility zone by any stretch of the imagination. Now, is it a precursor of something bigger? We live in such a dynamic world where a tweet from the president or a post that comes out on a platform, news stories, news headlines, they're creating extreme volatility. So yesterday, when President Trump made the comment that he was postponing some of the airstrikes for 5 days, we saw the market rally very quickly. So the market is very tightly wound on both sides. The VIX, which is a volatility index, has actually been fairly tame. Historically, when the VIX is above 30, you want to be a buyer of stocks. That means there's too much panic on the street. I have not seen the VIX trade over 30 yet, but it's been close. It's been in the high 20s. So we're watching the VIX. We're watching oil prices. We're watching headlines. But overall, none of this stops progress. So the AI trade, the fundamental backdrop of the economy has not been canceled. The effects might just be postponed a little bit.
Putting today's environment into historical context, where do you think we are in the market cycle? And what lessons from past periods should long-term investors keep in mind from here?
One thing I haven't touched on yet, credit cycles come and go. There's strong credit cycles, there's weak credit cycles. A lot of people in the media are comparing this to 2008. They're saying this looks and feels like 2008 from a credit cycle perspective. They're also overlaying the tech bubble back in 2000. And they're saying this is the mother of all of them. It's a combination of all the above. Cycles are part of investing. I don't think we are in any type of abnormal cycle right now. I think what we're witnessing is very normal. When we invest for our clients, we make sure to right size every investment. What do I mean by that? So we do have some private credit spread out across various clients. But nobody owns so much private credit that it can derail their long-term financial goals. Right-sizing your investments is very important so that you can ride through various cycles. Decisions don't have to get made when emotions are highest, the volatility spikes. So on our first quarter reviews that were taking place in January and our accounts were at all-time highs, we were having conversations with our clients about their cash flow needs. In many cases, we raised a lot of cash in advance of this, not because we were predicting what's going on in the world, but we do know there are cycles and we do know there are pullbacks. And what you don't want to do is sell or be forced to sell into weakness or into emotion. So we really prepared our clients for this moment in time during the first quarter.
That's great, Scott. Thank you. We always want to be prepared, not scared. Scott, thank you for sharing your insights today. It's always great to catch up with you, and let's have a great quarter.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review Client Relationship Summary, provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.